You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Ola Damagod, and the song you just heard was a song that I composed and performed together with my dear friend Dave Dolby at the Peace Conference in Berlin 2009. It's called Unite the Nation, not United Nation, but Unite the Nation. And this is, I think, one of the things we really have to do now is to join together, side by side, brothers and sisters, and unite our neighborhoods, our families, our countries, and everything, because we have are under attack from many different directions at the moment. But this is an amazing time, because this is a time where we can stand up and shine. I have the great honor tonight to stand in for Sean McGuire, a person I really, really admire. But it's actually his birthday, I think, or a few days ago. So happy birthday, Sean. And tonight I'm going to be having a guest on. His name is Sven Gardner, the one and only, direct from Ecuador, or Uruguay, actually. He should have been with me now. I'm not sure where he is. Maybe it's a matter of difficulties with the different time zones or whatever, but I hope he'll join us soon. And then after that, in hour two and possibly hour three, I'm going to be joined by a Norwegian journalist who's done incredible research regarding the awful massacre on Utøya on the 22nd of July 2011. An awful event where 69 young people, most of them the age from 14 to 17, were slaughtered by one or several people in uniform, police uniforms. Also, the government building in central Oslo was blown up, and what has been blamed as the deed of a lone crazy guy, I would very much strongly suggest that we're looking at a major, major black op. Once again, one of these things that are created as a problem, reaction, solution situation, where the people in power secretly create a problem, so that we think that there's an outer enemy that is attacking. The reason they do this is to get the emotional reaction from us saying, oh my God, I need protection, help me, help me. And then I will turn towards the one that I believe I have elected to take care of these things. And the people in power positions will then serve the solution. Problem, reaction, solution. And the solution every single time is that you pay. You have to give up your civil rights, your human rights. You have to accept more and more militarized police, more and more military in the streets, surveillance, all of these things. But this year, the time has come for us to turn the tide. And I feel strongly in my heart that this is a year of big, big challenges, tough times, hard times as well, difficult decisions to take sometimes. But at the same time, this is the time for us to really transcend this obstacle in a beautiful way. If we can manage to do that in a non-violent way, but totally fearless exposure of what's going on, then we will just shine brightly on the other side and create this world that we are supposed to have in total balance and harmony. That is the goal. So once we transcend the so-called New World Order, then let's see if we are able to actually create the world that I believe that we were supposed to have. Anyway, I know that there are loads and loads of people in the chat room, so if you have any questions, please fire away. For you who don't know me, my name is Ole Damagod once again. I normally come from the website lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com, a very hand-picked name, because that is exactly what I'm trying to do, to shine light in the darkest of the darkest corner. Wherever there's a major secret, a black, dark, smelly secret, I intend to aim the light of truth and expose it. If I can, I will do everything to make a change in this world. I'm only one single person, but I know the power of one strong soul can make incredible difference out there. So I also know that you out there listening are people that I truly honor, that I have in mind that is open for change, for new type of information, that is open to unlearn what we've been pumped with over the years of propaganda and so on. And I salute you all, brothers and sisters. Anyway, I was supposed to be with Sen now, and he's not here. So either I answer questions, or maybe my second guest, Hans, if he can come on the show, I would very much welcome him. Believe it or not, but I'm actually I'm sitting in an outdoor studio, I would call it, on a terrace up in the mountains of Andalusia. So if you can hear some kind of strange sound in the background, it's actually crickets. It's a beautiful, beautiful evening. The sun has just gone down behind the mountains, and it's just totally peaceful. It's very close to a village, a mountain village called Casares, which was, the legend says that it was Julius Caesar that built this village to start with a couple of thousand years ago. It's located right up on top of a mountain. Like, it looks like it's glued on top of it. And this was actually the last city to give in to Franco, the Spanish dictator here. So it's historical grounds when it comes to this fight for freedom, because this is what it is, what we're going through at the moment. There's so many things going on in the world where from all different directions, if it doesn't matter if it's chemtrails, GMOs, if it's false flag operations, if it's financial attacks like in Greece, or if it's the new type of digital currency or vaccines or virus hoax or whatever, there's so many different areas that we are being attacked from, and most people are not aware that there is one force behind it, a very dark agenda that is trying to push all of these things on us without us being able to see that these things are actually connected. There is one way that you can see, you can read for yourself, because there's a thing called Agenda 21. And in that agenda, it's written by the Bilderberger and former Prime Minister of Norway, Gro Harlem Brundtland, together with Maurice Strong, another player in this game. And in this Agenda 21, they describe in great detail what it is they're trying to accomplish with this world. And when you read it, it's like, oh my God. God, the level of madness behind the way they see the future for us. A very, very dark and very controlled, scary future. So I would say now is an extremely good time to wake up for people who are in that process, because it's going fast now. It really is going fast, and we need to be aware of what's going on so that we can see and also understand what is happening, so that we can make balanced choices for ourselves, our friends, our families, and so on, and move this future away from their plan and instead back to where 99.9% of the rest of us want it, in balance, in harmony, in peace and joy, celebration of life, and so on. I have a question from the chat room now, and it's one of these things. It says, do you think the Earth is a sphere? And this is one, the flat Earth theory is something that has been around the last few months. It's just been coming from all different directions. It is, my first opinion is, I think we have a lot more important issues to focus at the moment instead of looking at that one. Once we transcend this whole massive cabal called the New World Order, then I think it would be a good time to maybe play around with that idea. At the same time, to not avoid the question, I do believe that there are some very strange irregularities around the theory that the world should be round. I don't want to go into great details because I'm not an expert on it, but I am open for the possibility that I have to unlearn in this area as well. There's so many different areas where I thought that I knew what I was talking about, and it has just turned out that it was built on absolute lies and propaganda. And so I'm open. If anyone knows more, please teach me. I'm very willing to learn and learn and learn and evolve as a human being and knowledge-wise. So I have no idea. At this point, absolutely no idea. But thank you for asking, and please, anyone else with questions, let them keep coming. I just returned from a tour in Norway and Sweden. I went to Norway on the anniversary of this mass shooting on the 22nd of July, and it was a very, very, very emotional and upsetting experience, I must say. I had the great honor of being guided by one of the few journalists in Norway. His name is Hans Gorder. You're going to meet him during this show. And he's one of the very few in Norway that has critically looked at this event, where the official story says that it was a lone crazy guy. His name was Anders Breivik. Anders Behring Breivik, actually. And he was so upset at the Labour Party in Norway that he thought that they had been betrayed the country with the multicultural approach, and also and he wanted to make a statement by blowing up the government building in Oslo, and then after that go out and kill as many as possible on this small little heart-shaped island called Utøya. Now, Utøya is it's been like a summer camp for, I think, the last 30, 40 years, different new generations and so on, where new generation of the Labour Party has been there having summer camps and then also being educated and so on. When it comes to the bomb in Oslo, there's many similarities with the bomb in Oklahoma City, and the official story says that the guy was inspired by that deed. But when you look at the proof and the evidence, it is absolutely not true. There's so many things that doesn't make sense at all. I mean, we're up in like 50, 60 major events around these things where it just shows that there was something, a very dark agenda behind this. And while you consider this just a little more, I was thinking I would very much like to play the song Uprising with the group Muse. This is a song that I think is very, very powerful, and I think that can be a symbol for what I and many others are trying to accomplish, but always with the intention of non-violence. It is so important that we do this in a non-violent way, because the people behind the scenes are like poking us with a stick. The only thing they want for us is to react in a violent way, so that will justify them hammering us with more martial law or military force and so on. So that's not the way to go. We need to transcend this. We need to transcend it. So please, if you can sit back and maybe go and get a cup of tea or something like that and listen to me. Oh, that was always with me, always with you. It's with Joe Satriani, one of my favorite guitarists. I think this is a beautiful song that shows, you know, that we're never alone, that we always have each other and so on. I'm trying to get my second guest on the show, Hans Gorder, and I hope that will be soon. I've also been joined here, it seems like, by Jim Fetzer shortly, Professor Jim Fetzer, who's an expert on 9/11, JFK, and things of bad things that have been happened to the world. So in the meantime, I don't know, is Hans with us?
Hello, I'm here.
You are indeed. Hi, Hans. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Ole. I'm just doing fine. Nice to meet you. I see the three of you, Sam Gardner and Tony Hurst as well.
Yep. We're live on Out of the Bag. I just want to thank you because you did me the great honor of guiding me around the government site in Oslo, showing me exactly what happened around the buildings that blew up there. And then we went together to the island of Utøya, where some things happened. I was just wondering if you wouldn't mind giving your input of what happened that day on the 22nd of July in Norway.
On the terror day on 2011.
The exact day, yep.
It was a major world news because the terror was so ugly. First there was an explosion, but then there was a massacre on the youth camp on an island in a lake, and nearly 70 youths, very fine young people, were brutally murdered. So that was the Utøya incident. So it was a shock for all of Norway, and I'm a journalist, but I have some investigative background, so I, with the time, I started to do some investigation myself, because first it was like many places around the net, it was like people saying false flag, false flag, as if that was the natural cause of this terror attacks. I thought maybe this time, what if this was a real terror done by a lone crazy gunman and so on. So that was my position during the first months. Maybe I posted an article about at nyhetsspeilet.no that was displaying that position of mine, but as the amount of incident evidence grew, I had to face the truth that there were so too many pieces in the puzzle that it did not fit and had been omitted by the policing investigation. So then,
Do you know that there's a man called, his name was Fletcher Prouty, he was way up in the Pentagon and CIA and worked. He was part of many false flag operations and so on in the early, late 50s and early 60s, coming up to the assassination of JFK. He's the man portrayed by Donald Sutherland in the JFK movie as Mr. X. And he later became a whistleblower. And he said one of the sure signs you can see that there's a black op going on is not so much about what happens, but what does not happen. And I know that you have done some incredible research and found, you made especially one article with almost 30 different points showing on incredible things that just went into absolute slow motion, delaying the whole rescue team, the rescue operation for more than an hour while these poor youngsters were being slaughtered. Maybe, would you mind going into a few details on that list? Just go through some of them, what actually did not work this day.
Yeah, the first thing, because the first terror action was downtown Oslo, where some government buildings were blown apart, and they are actually situated only 200 meters from the main a fire station, and those firemen, they spent an enormous amount of time to to get there, which was nearly incredible given the seriousness of this explosion. So that was one issue, and there were many clues. But now you asked about the omissions, and it was like the helicopter, the police helicopter. They had a team of sharpshooters. They had been given extra holiday, but for some coincidence, they had not gone away. So when these sharpshooters, so when first there was the terror downtown Oslo, and no one knew what was going to happen the next, they, as their major instinct, they turned around and presented themselves and said, "Hey, we are ready. We are ready for action, for mission." And so there was a helicopter with sharpshooters actually appearing, and they were not given, the helicopter was not given permission to take off and fly 5-10 minutes to the island and kill the assassins there to stop the slaughtering of poor young Norwegians. So, and also within the police department of Oslo, for some reasons, a couple of weeks earlier, the police people had been ordered to deliver their arms, their bulletproof vests, belts with equipment, and so on. So when the alarm came, some had to just go there empty-handed, which was quite peculiar. And the alarm PC computers of the police had been turned off this only this day. There was a special anti-terror unit ready for action who did not receive the call for action after the bomb attack. It took more than an hour before it was turned national alarm. And there were hassle on the emergency lines when these youngsters who had their cell phones with them during the shooting cried for help, and they were not did not come through to the switchboard, which is actually, it should be technically impossible, because if the line is occupied, there's a default system within the system that they will have a meet someone else to talk to in another district, but that did not happen. And the local police, their car actually had been flat on battery, something which almost never happens. So they have to use cables to start their car. And
it's like, when you look at the operation, when you look at it, what did work this day the way it should? I mean, more or less nothing, isn't it?
No, there is nothing. And so what was the great saviors this day was that there were some camping tourists, maybe going along and frying some meat or drinking beer, what do I know? And when they heard the shooting, they just dropped what they had in their hands, threw themselves into their boats, and start touring the fjord to rescue those youngsters who had left the island swimming in the cold water, so some distance. Some of them did not had not taken off all the clothes or so much clothes as they should have for optimal swimming. Maybe because they were too scared to think about it, they just threw themselves into the water. So these unarmed saviors in their non-protected small boats, they saved maybe 300 youths who were had left the island swimming. So because there were 500 people on the island when the shooting started, and 70 were almost 70 were killed, and 30 were hit by bullets and wounded, but survived.
Listen, Hans, when you look at this is an incident, like it's almost like two different chapters. The one, the explosion in Oslo, and yeah. then the mass shooting on this island. So if we look at the explosion in Oslo, it said that it was a fertilizer bomb that he had put in a van, just like in Oklahoma City. But when you look at the damages on the buildings, I would say it doesn't match up at all. There's no logic to that explanation. Could you describe the damages of that?
Yeah, you have the main building of the Norwegian government where the Prime Minister's office is in the highest floor, and it's maybe 12 floors high. And all the windows, almost all the windows, had been smashed, even on the top. And some rows, somewhat above mid-level, had been kept intact. So this is not logical, because if the only explosion point was inside a car, who had been put close into two balls in 90 degrees angle below a roof, then very much of the power from the explosion should go into the walls, into the roof, or downwards, and the angle towards the windows of the building would be too small, and also this explosion dynamic for one single bomb explosion, that is very narrow angle, and the power is like decreasing with the square of the distance from the explosion point, so it does not add up. And the other side of the road and of the street, there were some plastic which had been stretched, and it was actually intact. So that's while the windows behind the plastic had been broken, because if there was like a primitive pressure wave, the plastic should go first, and so windows maybe would survive because they were so far away and the angle was not optimal for maximum impact there. So all in all, the nature of the explosion seems to have come from nowhere, maybe, or so-called non-localized energy weapons, something like that.
Yeah, it's also right above where the van is said to have been parked. The concrete ceiling, it looks like it's melted, like cheese that had been in the sun for too long. It should have been blown upwards, but instead it's hanging down the corner. And also the it's like when you look at all the buildings where the windows, I mean, the windows have been thousands, at least hundreds and hundreds of windows that were crushed. But it looks like the glass has been sucked out into the street instead of being blown into the buildings, were the total opposite of a normal explosion. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's actually one building which has some curved windows side, which there is a video clip showing the explosion, and it clearly indicates that the glass is moving from inside out, as if there was some bomb planted inside that building. If there was a single blast direction from outside, it should hit the glass inside the building, as if throwing a rock towards a window. So I've done there's a program called CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. I've actually never seen it, but I know what it's about. It's like going into a crime scene, looking at technical evidence, and starting with the facts, and then doing some analysis. And I've done that on both these crime scenes, just collecting and reviewing evidence in the form of photos, video clips, witness statements, and so on, to see how the picture appears. So there are lots of major important evidence in these two serious crime actions that has been omitted from the police investigation and has been omitted from the court case, as if manipulated by some hidden hand. And it's also what I first mentioned regarding all the police or the breakdowns in the police routines during the Oslo explosion, that there seems to be some sabotage from within. So this means who are we actually dealing with, and who are pulling the strings?
Yeah, very good question, I would say. Then when we go to the Utøya, the island.
Yeah.
It's located some 40 minutes northwest of Oslo, out on a small, beautiful little island, some 600 meters from the mainland. Yeah. And this is where at least one, but there's witnesses that are talking with about up to five shooters on the island dressed in police uniforms, at least two or three. Has that ever been explained, or is it always just the official story that it's one shooter?
In my crime scene investigation approach, I prefer to first review the crude facts. And in these sorts of terror attacks, which for some reason often seem to have been false flag, I prefer to look at the raw evidence from the early minutes, and what was even broadcasted through like Norwegian television was that there were many different witnesses who survived from the island, who reported there had been more than one shooter, and there are also other witnesses who have stated that, two or three. So that has been omitted from the police investigation, as if they had been ordered to do so, which is very, very serious. Here you have the worst massacre in Norwegian history, and 69 fine young not all the victims were actually youngsters, but anyway, more than 50 young people were murdered, 69 victims in total, and which is a very, very serious crime case. And the police is very early, as if being instructed to do so, omitting the major evidence, indicated that there were two people or more who were actually killing, firing and killing people on the island. This is a very, very serious issue for the Norwegian police and judicial system and the society as a whole.
Yeah. There's a book called When Terror Struck Norway, and in that book, that goes into great detail about minute by minute what happened this awful day in the history of Norway. And there's the daughter of a police chief that from the island gives the report that there were five different shooters in police uniforms. That's the only time I've heard of five, but I've heard of several witnesses that are talking about that they heard shooting from different areas of the island at the same time, different caliber, the sounds of different caliber weapons and so on. But I have a question from the chat room, and somebody's asking here, Patrick Nee, could the blast be like from a direct energy weapon, that type of blast? What would you say to that?
Are you speaking about the Oslo downtown government building?
The Oslo one, yes. Yeah, the Oslo one.
Yeah, no, you're back in downtown Oslo. I think it might have been some sort of direct energy weapon, maybe Harp was involved. There are different clues indicating that, yes.
I totally agree with that. And also, I want to point out that there's a big Harp station on Tromsø in northern Norway that could have been used in this as well. But the damages, when you look at the damages on the building, it does not match up with a fertilizer bomb at all. And I would say that some kind of not normal weapon were used, some kind of normal, not normal way of explosives. It was an uncommon way of weapon that was used here, I would say.
I snatched a photo from the internet with indicated some sort of circular energized pattern in flame-like colors hitting the high government building high up. It has been censored from YouTube, removed from there, but I actually managed to snatch it. And also this plastic, which had not been completely destroyed, also indicates something like that. Also with the lack of decrease of the damage with increasing altitude, and so on and so on. But just as well to remember, because he was speaking about these witnesses who had reported different, various or two or more shooters. It's like it's not only witnesses. We also in Norway we have a strong shooting culture, and although most of the people in Norway were like how to say their attention were directed towards the grief. Some are also like doing some technical investigation due to this was very serious, and there are shooters who have caught on tape, have gotten hand of tape, with also Norwegian with shooter competence, there with the tape, also sound clips, video clips with where they can hear the sounds from the shooting, and they analyze like high low, and this weapon, that weapon, direction at the north of the island, south of the island, and so on and so on. That is very like technical investigative analysis, and they conclude that there were different arms fired like in the same seconds, which is impossible to do by only one person. Besides, they were fired from different parts of the island.
So what was their conclusion? One, two, three, or more?
For me, the most important thing is that there were two or more. I don't remember if that was some number, but this video, this sound footage has been like suppressed, not displayed by the media. Actually, it's possible that it was first brought forward by some newspaper, who later hid the evidence, which is a major part of the technical investigation to find out how many shooters there were. And
it's also that there was a press helicopter, one of the only helicopter that actually circled the island, except for two, as far as I know, unidentified black helicopters that were circling the area. But that press helicopter took some footage where the shooter is actually seen, and in these frames where you can see the shooter, he's a softpaw, southpaw. He's a left-handed shooter with a bald spot. And the patsy, or not the patsy, but the accused guy and convicted man, Anders Breivik, is right-handed.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is if either we're looking at a lone crazy guy who's behind all of this on his own, or we're looking about on a conspiracy among criminal elements, or we're looking at a false flag operations. And the difference is monumental, because if this is a false flag operation, a black op, it is trying to get us to react in a certain way, and then that will force us in that direction. Or if it's the act of a lone crazy guy, then we have to look at it in a totally different...